Very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. It's well, we're with you through until 8 o'clock and hopefully you can stay with us as we look ahead to a selection of this weekend's action just over 2 weeks into the new year, and already there's so much happening in the sporting world here in the Northwest. The controversy over Donegal's failure to field for their semi-final in the Dr McKenna Cup rumbles on. But on the field, there's plenty happening and plenty to look forward to this weekend. Not least the Segerson Cup quarter-final meeting of Letterkenny IT and IT Sligo. That one promises to be a cracker. And we'll be looking ahead to that game and the rest of the GAA later in the programme. We'll hear too from Eamon McLaughlin, Highlands cricket correspondent, who makes his debut on The Score tonight to talk about a famous win for Ireland's cricketers over the mighty West Indies. But we're going to kick off this week with football, and joining me in studio to preview another big weekend for local sides is Bunnagee United manager Jason Gibson. Jason, great to have you back in with us. Last week it was the FAI Junior Cup. This weekend it's the FAI Intermediate Cup, and it's the turn of Bunnagee United and Cockhill Celtic to take centre stage.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to it, Dermot. So as I say, it's big weekend for the club, and as I say, from the league point of view, it's good to see Cockhill involved as well. So hopefully, as I say, we can both get a positive result for.
Yeah, Bunnagee home to College Corinthians, Cockhill Celtic home to Kilnamana. So two home ties, you know, that's exactly what you want.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for, wasn't the draw at the outset. Still difficult ties. Say College Corinthians are a strong outfit, like, and they've put Avondale out of the competition already in the first round, so it's probably a wee statement of intent from them. I think from what I've been hearing, that they're very much focused on this competition this year, and I suppose to put the current holders out, you can't do any more than that. So, and then from Cockhill's point of view, you know, say a home draw as well, but just noticed last week, like, Kilnamana made a couple of big signings, like, so. As I say, they're both tough ties, but yeah, the home draw is important.
Well, we'll hear from Cockhill Celtic player manager Gavin Cullen in a short while on the programme, but focus on your own game first of all, Jason. College Corinthians from Cork, they're a household name as far as intermediate football is concerned, and they bring plenty of experience within their camp as well to Letterkenny. Big day for the club, for your own club, a 12 noon start on Sunday, and hopefully you'll get a big crowd out there to see us.
Yeah, hopefully, like, as I say, you'll get people coming to our kick-off at 12 o'clock and then probably moving on into their own, you know, maybe the Donegal League clubs or whatever, Letterkenny's playing at home, so, you know, they'll probably move on into their own fixture or whatever. Yeah, it's massive for the club, like, as I say, you know, I was chatting to Chris McNulty earlier in the week, we weren't sure if this is our first senior or enter into the Senior Cup and last 16 intermediate. I think it is for the club, as far as I'm aware. So, you know, whenever you get to that stage and it's a first, like, it's massive for the club. And as I say, that's what you want to deliver for them, because I keep saying it, I'm probably repetitive on it. They deserve it out there. Like, as I say, everybody can see what they bring as a club. And as I say, it's good for them that we're at this stage. Like,
yeah, because the people involved with Bunnagee United have been there for so long, and you know, it's for those guys and ladies that you're thinking about, Jason, because, you know, they deserve a wee bit of success and a wee bit of time in the limelight.
Yeah, very much so. Like, as I say, I mean, I'm only out the road. I would have been coming to Bunnagee all my life. Like, and as I say, Eric Funston's there, part of the furniture. I mean, Lawrence Gilday there now, he'll be working flat out. He's there any time I'm there. Like, and it gives him a chance to showcase the facilities out there on the pitch. And you know, that's just a name too. There's loads more, and you know, as I say, they're kind of reinventing themselves, and that they're bringing a lot of what would be my old Lurgy Brack opponents, you know, one through the club, the likes of, you know, Mark Gallagher and the Dohertys and Ferries and all of that, and through the club as well. So there's a good family out around that area in the club, like, so as I say, it's good for them, and hopefully we get them all out on Sunday and we get a positive result.
Yeah, let's hope so. I think at times like this as well, you know, the soccer family around Donegal gets behind clubs like this. Everybody wants to see teams doing well on the national stage, Jason, so hopefully that's the case with Bunnagee United this weekend. You go into this game on the back of last weekend's derby draw with Letterkenny Rovers, I don't think I've ever seen you as annoyed and downbeat after a game, because you felt that was one that got away from you. It's a one-all draw, but the concession of the penalty probably, you know, you would think cost you.
Yeah, lots of frustrations. And as I say, I don't normally let stuff get to me. As I say, I'd be fairly calm and all the rest. But there was lots of frustrations last Sunday. Obviously, dropping the 2 points is, you know, that was a frustration in the manner that we dropped it. You know, we've one lad leaving the ground in ambulance and another one just off after half time. That's probably even more frustrating, because, you know, I had a word with the officials beforehand, and it's maybe something we have to look at, that, you know, they have a tick box to say, you know, what's playable and what's not, as in surface water, blah, blah, blah. But like, to me, you know, by the letter of the law, that pitch has passed last Sunday, but that's not an acceptable surface to play football on, like, so, and you know, that bore fruit whenever, as I say, you have the ambulance visit. And that could have easily happened for Letterkenny players as well, so it's probably something maybe the league has to look at, and that, you know, as I said, just that was the frustration more than anything.
Like. Yeah, well, it was an unfortunate, an unfortunate end to the game for Micheál Doherty. That's the player you're talking about. He ended up going to Letterkenny University Hospital. Jason, now that we're four or five days on from that, how are things with Micheál? How is he?
Yeah, Micheál's lucky. He was back, and he was up obviously on Sunday evening and let out and back on Tuesday again, and he has a brace on the knee. He's on crutches, he can walk about on it, but, like, I mean, he's off work for 2 weeks. And again, I suppose that's something we forget about. We're all voluntary, and, you know, as I say, the man's off work for 2 weeks. Emmett Freel as well, limped off on Sunday, and Emmett's still struggling. Like, but as I say, Micheál, hopefully they've diagnosed it as the medial, so hopefully, you know, we're looking at maybe 5 or 6 weeks and getting Micheál back in again, because he's a big player for us. And Emmett, as I say, is doubtful for Sunday, but he probably, I was just chatting to him before I come on there, that he's probably a 50-50 chance for Sunday. So
okay, and I'm sure he'd love to play, because a big occasion. You have brought in new players, Jason. You've added to your squad, and looking down through the names that were involved last Sunday, you know, Paddy Mealy's inclusion in the back is a big positive for you. Michael Funston's playing good football at the centre of the middle of the park. Dino Larkin in there alongside him. And Micheál Doherty, unfortunately, isn't going to be about now for a few weeks, but you still have players to come in off the bench. Sean Hume came off the bench the last day and is a player with bags of ability as well. So no doubt about it, you've assembled a decent squad.
It's a squad game. Like, I mean, Sean, come on there. Sean wasn't there the previous game, and Dan O'Donnell was on there, and Dan has done excellent for us, and them two lads are probably fighting all season for that position. Paddy has come in there and give us a real solid base. Like we said to you before, we were missing that, you know, physical presence in there, and I thought we were kind of susceptible to conceding goals at set pieces, and Paddy seems to, you know, as I say, have sorted that out. And, you know, the other lads, I mean, Funstey plays in various positions for us. He was in the middle last Sunday. He can go out wide as well. You just know that you're going to get 110% no matter where you play him. And I said to the boys in the dressing last Sunday too, like, you know, you're mentioned Dino there, your Mark Harkin, your Jamie Lina, and boys like that. You know, they've been Bunnagee for some 10 years, like, and, you know, they've seen kind of struggling days there, and now they're firing on all fronts and all competitions. And, you know, I'm delighted for them that they've persevered there and they've stayed with the club, and thankfully now they're in a team that, you know, that they can challenge with.
Okay, you're listening to The Score with myself, Jeremy Doherty. Our special guest in studio this evening is Bunnagee United manager Jason Gibson. We're going to go for a quick break. And you're welcome back to The Score. We'll be joining Gavin Cullen, the Cockhill Celtic player manager, in a short while. But first of all, it's just over a month now until the new Premier Division season kicks off in the League of Ireland. Harps meet Sligo Rovers at home on Friday night, February the 14th. And while there was much talk this week over the failure of the new Harps Stadium to be included in this week's round of government funding, Ollie Horgan's preparations for the new campaign continued with a couple more additions to his panel. The club held a press conference in Letterkenny on Tuesday, and there for us was Chris Ashmore, who caught up with Harps goalkeeper Mark Anthony McGinley, Mark Russell, and first of all, new signing Carl O'Sullivan.
Carlos Sullivan, you've put pen to paper to sign for Finn Harps. So it's going to be a big year for you, no doubt. You'll want to be trying to hold down a first team place.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm going to keep my head down now and train and stuff, and try and make a big impression over the preseason and try to get into that starting 11 position. You know.
So tell us a little bit about your time with Limerick.
It was very enjoyable, you know. Like, obviously, you know, Limerick have had their problems, you know, in the last couple of years. But, you know, there's some fantastic staff and players there, you know. They've really helped me, you know, the last few years with the step up to Premier Division, First Division football. So, yeah, just with nothing but good things to say about it.
Now, did you know Ollie much in advance?
I didn't know. He actually drove all the way down to... You know, I met him down in Kerry just before the Christmas, so... I suppose the fact that he drove all the way down, you know, it was great. And he was very honest with me as well. So, yeah, I like that, you know.
And for fans who don't know too much about you, what's your favourite position? Are you a bit flexible?
Yeah, you know, I'd play anywhere. I don't mind, I'd play anywhere I'm put. But I wouldn't mind playing out wide maybe, you know, because I have plenty of pace to get in behind and stuff. So that'd be probably my preferred position, yeah.
And no doubt, I mean, you're meeting a whole load of new players, there's new arrivals at the club. What's your initial impressions of the squad that you're working with?
Yeah, like, everyone's been very welcoming to me, you know, so far. You know, everyone works hard in training, you know, like, Finn Harps is known, you know, for, you know, battling and stuff, like, so, like, you can see that now already, like, so, yeah.
And any connections with Donegal yourself?
No, none whatsoever, no, not at all. Long way from home, so...
So another season beckons. What are your initial thoughts looking ahead to the new season?
Just a season to look forward to. Just about a week into pre-season now, so everybody's looking sharp and fit. Obviously it's tough, but not everybody's just eager to start on the 14th of February and eager to get going.
Well, last season, you know, Harps took a while to get going. Then there was that great run in the second half of the season. From what Ollie says and what we all know, Shelburne are going to be very strong coming up. So there's going to be no easy games.
Nah, it's probably the same as last year. There was no easy games. But we'll just take each game as it comes and just look forward to it and just try and hopefully get the victory in each game.
And you played in a couple of different positions last year. I mean, what is your actual favourite position?
I don't really know. It's up to Ollie, I think. But, I would play anywhere, but probably left back or left wing back's my main position.
Looking to the season and the new guys in training, I mean, what's your initial feelings? Like, are they gelling together well?
Yeah, obviously we've not been in for that long, so it's hard to tell, but everybody that's come in, the new signings and stuff, are looking good, and just hopefully we can build on the season from last year.
Mark Anthony McGinley, another season just around the corner, and no doubt you'll be hoping to start this new season as well as you finished the last one.
Yeah, hopefully, last season it went fairly well for me towards the end. It's about consistency and hopefully, you know, building that into the new season and hopefully hitting the ground running against Sligo on the 14th.
Now, as a part-time club, Harps are at the disadvantage that when a season ends, nearly everybody, if not everybody, is out of contract. In terms of you coming back this season for another year, like, how easy or how hard a decision was it to put pen to paper again?
No, it was, to be honest, it was a fairly easy decision. You know, I met Ollie and he kind of outlined his plan for the year and what he was hoping to do. And you know, it didn't take much convincing. The offer of Premier Division football was a big incentive. You know, it might have been a tougher decision maybe with First Division football, but thankfully that wasn't the case. So yeah, no, it wasn't really for myself. You know, being local and working in Balbuffet, it wasn't too difficult a decision.
And were there any other clubs interested in acquiring your services?
It was a few phone calls, but nothing really that you could really consider when the offer came from Harps, you know, and Ollie, you know, he gave me a good opportunity last year, you know, so there was a bit of kind of loyalty there that you know, that he'd given me a chance, he'd given him a call, you know, halfway through the season. So, you know, as I said, it was nothing that I really give too much consideration to, but you know, it was an easy decision to come back.
Two local derbies to start with. I mean, that if that doesn't whet the appetite, nothing will.
No, exactly. You know, you probably couldn't ask for a better start. You know, and You know, a big thing for us, you know, as you're mentioning there in the press conference, you know, is the fan base, you know, and it's important for the fans, you know, to get out for those two games. And, you know, if you can pick up two positive results and then, you know, like everything, when you're going well, the fan base, the fans are more likely to come out. So hopefully it's kind of our job to hopefully get those positive results.
That's Mark Anthony McGinley there rounding off that wee package from Chris Ashmore from yesterday's press conference in Letterkenny. Harps continuing the countdown to the new League of Ireland season. Well, Coghill Celtic can't seem to do any wrong in the Ulster Senior League, and while there's still some way to go in the league season, they're sitting pretty at the top of the table. There's no doubt that the Inishowen side have big hopes to make their mark on the national stage this year, and that means getting a decent run in the FAI Intermediate Cup. This Sunday, they meet Leinster Senior League side Kilnamana, and Gavin Cullen, you may have home advantage again, but when it comes to the stage of the competition, no game is going to be easy.
No, certainly not, Dermot. Like at any, I suppose, later stages of any competition, the better sides are normally in it, and this is the same this Sunday. I don't know a hell of a lot about Kilnamana, but I know they've quite a few League of Ireland or ex-League of Ireland players and household names, so they will have that experience and that bit of quality that from their League of Ireland days. So we know we're in for a big game, and I think home advantage is key, but at the same time, it's not a given, you know.
Yeah, because that's the way it turned out in the last round as well. You had home advantage, Gavin, ended up having to make the journey to Cork for the replay, but managed to come away with the win.
Yeah, I felt against Middleton at home and away were probably, no, they were definitely our best two performances of the season. We were really up and at it in the two games. I think in the second half against at home, we created 5-6 scoring opportunities, put the ball in the net a few times. You know, we've done really well and played really well and took a lot of encouragement from that. Going down to Middleton, we then went down to Middleton without a couple of our big players. And a couple of young lads came into the team and acquitted themselves brilliantly, and I've been in the team since. And we had a great result and a fantastic result. There's not many clubs from Donegal at any level go to Cork and get a result, so we were delighted with that one, you know.
And how are you fixed this weekend then, Gavin, in terms of team-wise? Everybody okay?
Yeah, well, I'm suspended myself, and Lee McColligan suspended. We're just sweating on Jason Breslin and Adam Duffy, two important players. Jason's been brilliant for us, one of our most consistent players over the last 5 seasons since I've been in charge, and he's been brilliant. So he would be major to have him back, and Adam's getting back to fitness again with a knock to his knee in a friendly. And again, he's a top player coming from Fun Harps, so having the two of them available would be a major boost, and if they're not available, it would be a big shoes to fill for somebody else, you know.
And you added to your squad this week, I think you signed a goalkeeper, Young Houghton.
Yes, I signed Young Daniel Houghton. He was with Derry City under-19s. I had my eye on him for, you know, just watching him develop at Derry and stuff like that, and hoping that he would become a senior goalkeeper, because he has all the attributes of physique for it. You know, whatever happened, it didn't go his way. He signed for Cairndona about 2 months ago in the Inishowen League. And I was surprised to see that, but at the same time, he understood that he wanted football. So he played about 4 or 5 games for Cairndona in the Inishowen League. So he's been playing games. I've brought him in. We've lost Harry Doherty to Carrick Rangers. We wish him all the best there in the Irish League. So we had to bring in another goalkeeper anyway. So, in fairness to Daniel, the minute I rang him, he was up for it and he wanted to come in. So his competition replaces. We have another young goalkeeper there called Owen Jordan, who played the last 2 games and done very well. So basically the two guys will go toe-to-toe as such, training and see who plays at the weekend, you know.
Well, hopefully, just like Bunagee, Gavin, you'll be hoping for a big crowd and another great occasion this Sunday. And things are going well in terms of Inishowen football, because, you know, last weekend you had the two big results for Buncrana Hearts and Greencastle in the FAI Junior Cup. It's all looking very positive.
It is. The two, Buncrana and Greencastle, the two massive results last weekend. I'm not too sure if they were both expected they won or get a result, but the fact that the two of them won, you know, and have got into, I think, the latter stages of the FA Junior Cup all augurs well for football. And as we know, there's a lot of talent on the show, and there's a lot of ability and good players, you know. And sometimes, you know, you're sort of wondering, you know, can some boys push on up the levels like a bit more, yeah, you know, and should be doing that. But at the same time, there's a lot of young lads at Derry and Harps at the minute that are flying as well. And earlier on this season, I think that the Regions Cup team, I think, that defeated Leinster, I think there might have been seven, eight started the game from Minnesota, which was, you know, brilliant as well and great to see and long overdue. So there is a lot of ability in here, and getting, you know, three clubs at the latter stages of national competitions is, I suppose, key to putting Minnesota on the map as well.
It certainly is. Well, it's Cockhill Celtic and Kilnamana. Kicks off at 2 o'clock then on Sunday, Gavin, and we wish you the, is it 2 o'clock or is that right?
12 o'clock kickoff, Jeremy.
12 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Yep. Okay, right. So listen, we wish you the best luck, Gavin.
Brilliant, Jeremy. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Gavin Cullen there, the player manager with Cockhill Celtic. We're going to grab another quick break. And you're welcome back to The Score, 7:30 on a Thursday night. Before we go on to Gaelic games, just want to give you a result from an FAI Schools Senior Girls Ulster Cup final played today down in Carndonagh. It finished Scullwarra Bancrana 2, Moville Community College 5. So good victory for Moville. Well, last weekend, Letterkenny IT made their debut in the Sigerson Cup, and it was a day to remember as Michael Murphy's side produced a hugely impressive performance to win away at Athlone IT. That win sets up a meeting in the quarterfinal with IT Sligo, who themselves had a fantastic result at home to a much fancied University of Limerick side. Sligo were managed by Ballyshannon man Brendan Drummond, a former Donegal Ladies senior team manager, and he's been speaking with Tom Comack.
Brendan, all set for a local derby clash with Letterkenny IT?
Oh yes, to be honest, I think it's great for the North West that the two colleges, you know, have made the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and obviously you big victory last week. You turned a few heads, 6-1 outsiders.
Oh yes, no, like going into the game, you know, we're ranked outsiders. But at the end of the day, I suppose it came down to, you know, I suppose a wee bit of home advantage, a wee bit of belief, and, you know, just getting the matchups right on the day.
Yeah, that was against UL Limerick, who had been tipped by many as a...
Never mind the starting 15, they had some serious guys to come on as well during that game. But look, on the day, we soldiered well, and we battled hard and fought for every ball. And, well, I suppose at the end of the day, it was a low-scoring game, but we came out the right side of it.
Pretty defensive, was it, obviously?
Yeah, you could say that at times it was very defensive, especially the last maybe 10 or 15 minutes of the game in particular. But look at, you know, the modern game now, you have your setups, you have to get your defensive, you know, strategies in place as well, because, you know, it's not all about scoring sometimes.
Tell me a little about your team. Obviously, we know there's a strong tradition of Donegal players playing with IT Sligo. Maybe not as strong this year as other years.
Maybe not as strong there. You know, in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, we've had the likes of Jamie Brennan and Owen Bann, you know, players of that quality. But, you know, this year, Andy McLean, he's in the senior panel. Kevin McBurty there plays in the middle of the field for us. Then we've got Shane McGrath from Ballyshannon, Nathan Boyle from Ballyshannon, Sean Taylor from Ballyshannon. So, you know, I suppose at the end of the day, these guys, you know, have played County Minor or they've played 20s or whatever with Donegal, and, you know, they're not between wanting it if needed to be need to play.
Yeah. And I know from speaking to you earlier in the week, built on very much club players rather than county players. I know, what is it, Sean Carabine and Kyle Collier are the only two Sligo seniors?
That's right. And now, we're lucky enough now this morning, Kyle actually trained us this morning and he was buzzing in training. I didn't actually think we'd have him back, but he's rearing to go now, and he really put a foot down the start on Sunday.
Yeah. That's a big boost.
Huge boost altogether, because Sean played earlier in the league for us, and he was flying for us, you know, and he pulled the hamstring last Wednesday night before the UL game, but produced the physio and the medical team, they got him back.
Yeah, that's Kyle, is it, or Sean?
Kyle.
Yeah,
Kyle.
So, tell me about the rest of the team.
The rest of the team there, yeah, we have a few good strong lads from Cavan and Monaghan, and it was a mix across from Roscommon and Mayo, and you know, the college kind of, you know, takes in some of those areas as well. You know, we've got guys who do apprentices as well, you know, electrical apprentices and engineering and that there, you know, so they come in out of the college, you know, so it's a good mix. And all probably senior footballers, so makes a big difference, you know, if you've got senior club footballers, yeah, you know, throughout the team.
I suppose you have two things going for you. You have a tradition, as we all know, strong Donegal representation. Martin McCubber managed the team at one time, and there was quite a strong Donegal representation on Christie Toy, Kevin Cassidy, Eamon McGee, Carl Lacey, I think Michael Doherty as well, many more. A very strong Donegal connection. IT Sligo have won the Sigerson three times, and the other big advantage, I suppose, is you're at home.
Well, the home advantage, I suppose, you know, can help, you know, especially in a tight game. And like, I honestly think it's going to be a bounce of the ball between us on Sunday. You know, hopefully home advantage might give us that wee bit of advantage, you know. So they said it could come down a bit of luck, referee's decision, but at the end of the day, that's football.
Mm. And of course, you'll know the Donegal players pretty well.
Oh, no doubt about it. Like, you know, I suppose, like, my job is to look at matchups and things like that there, you know, and when you go through the team sheet there, you know, like Padder kicking 1-6 there, you know, you've got the likes of Lagan in the middle of the field, you know, Marley's with him, Owen McGettigan, you know, on his day is absolutely unbelievable footballer, you know. But like, you can go through and through, and Big John there, full forwards, a handful as well, like big man, big unit of man. So I suppose we'll work cut out to dampen out a few fires in a few different places.
The general feeling is you got your matchups well last week, so you'll be studying late into the night this for the next couple of nights.
I definitely say that it'd be true, Tom, and I'm sure Michael will be at the same the other end. You know, it's great. Like, at the end of the day, it's a great buzz for IT Sligo, and it's a great buzz for Letterkenny as well. You know, that these two teams are playing on Sunday.
And of course, the prize is a place in the semi final.
Oh, but yeah, and no, the unfortunate thing about that, the semi final's on Wednesday night. So you know, whoever, you know, gets out on Sunday, it's a big ask to get the boys out and raring to go again on the Wednesday night.
That's Brendan Drummond there. So standing in the way of IT Sligo and a place in the semi-finals are Letterkenny IT, a side not surprisingly made up predominantly of players from Donegal, as Brendan suggested there. And Francie Friel, well, he's part of Michael Murphy's backroom team, and he has been outlining the latest news from the Letterkenny camp ahead of Sunday's
big game. Well, Francie, looking forward, no doubt, to the big game on Sunday. New ground for Letterkenny IT.
Well, looking forward to it immensely. It was a derby into the bargain as well against them.
Before we look forward to the game itself, obviously, this you've been there now for 3 years along with Michael Murphy, or this is your third season involved. This has been a slow building process.
When Michael got the job and he, you know, asked me to come in and do a bit of coaching, we probably were sitting down and was trying to get players together, you know, trying to juggle all the players at the college and trying to maybe entice maybe more players from other clubs that, you know, be going to do different courses, trying to get them onto Letterkenny IT, and suppose that's first and foremost what we're looking to do. And we got the players, you know, available to us in IT and trying to get them out to train, and that's in between club and county, you know, that's what we're trying to do, and trying to formulate a team. And, you know, this year, you know, we're probably up to Sigerson. Last year we'd won the trench, and we decided to go on to the Sigerson this year, and listen, we had a very good team, and listen, we're playing Sligo now IT in the next round, and that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I went away last weekend and got a good result, because away games at any level, especially at colleges level, can prove.
Ah, definitely so. And in the middle of that, Tom, you know, you have the exams as well, you know, question out on the exams on the Friday, you know, on the. So listen, you just had that added thing to it as well. But listen, not just on the, you know, on the game, we went down to Athlone, and you know, we went down the day before, and you know, and we got a good kind of rest and went through stuff that we had, you know, we wanted to go through. And you know, the game then on Sunday, you know, a brilliant day down, lovely day in Athlone, it was a good day for football, you know. And the boys just really, you know, everything that we've been looking to do on the football field, the practice, possibly trained to do, we it came off for us on Sunday.
Yeah, and speaking to Michael Murphy during the week, you won 118 to what, 3-5 or something, or 3-3 was it, or whatever.
3-4, yeah.
3-4, 8-9 points. He said it was much closer than maybe that. I think he maybe been speaking a little bit with tongue in cheek.
Well, you know, Tom, I suppose, and France, I probably thought the same myself, because you're just always in there. They got the three goals, you know, maybe another goal could turn it around them. Like, we were 11 points to 1-2 up at half-time, and they came out in the second half and they got two goals, you know, and brought it back to a two-point game. They got 2-1, actually, so brought it back to a two-point game, and Michael Langan caught a kick out then. We got up the pitch, we got a score, and that score kind of settled us, and we kind of racked off maybe 3 or 4 points then, you know, and then Patter got the goal, and, you know, probably there's a bit of daylight between the two of us, but you just, the way the game was kind of ebbing and flowing, they were getting in for, you know, goals, like, you know, so that was a kind of concern for us that they got another goal or two, that they was kind of getting momentum, but I think the boys just stuck to the plan, and everybody pushed on, and, you know, the boys came off the bench, really added to it as well, and we got across the line, and listen, the scoreline probably, it is a bit more flattering what it is when you're there yourself on the line. It was a wee bit closer than that, I thought.
In normal circumstances, to concede 3 goals, 2 in quick succession would be a worry, but was it a case of that stage maybe that LYIT had taken the foot off the pedal a bit?
No, listen, Tom, that was after, you know, listen, it was, I said, 11 points to 1-2 at half-time, and they came out in the second half, and listen, we wanted to get off that good start on the second half, and they got the emphasis, you know, they were always going to get a purple patch in the game, you know, when they got the 2-1, and as I said, and listen, they came back in the game, it was a two-point game then, and you just, I think it could have happened then, but, you know, we saw the game out, and when they had their purple patch, we kind of weathered the storm, and we came out the other side, you know, and as I said, you know, Michael Langan and Patter Bowen, especially in the second half, really drove us on, and it got us across the line.
Yeah, and I know. Playing obviously Sligo this weekend, as you mentioned at the outset, very much a local derby, and obviously Brendan Drummond, the manager with Sligo IT and Aero, a clubman, former Donegal Ladies manager, and you know, Andrew McLean, the team captain, and Kevin McBrearty there as well, and quite a few others from Donegal as well. So a little spice to this one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Brendan, a bit of familiarity to our players too, because most of our players in the starting 15 are from Donegal, you know. He will have a gap on that, but he know the players and know the clubs they're playing with, you know. We're happy to, you know, go to Sligo, you know. We're in a great place at the moment, you know. We're in Sigerson for the first time. We won our first game. We're going up to Sligo, who have, you know, a good record in Sigerson. They've won it a couple of times, and they've been playing Sigerson a lot longer than us, you know. But we feel with the team we have, we have a good chance this weekend, you know, to go up there. And listen, the big one is like, if we can perform to the best of our ability and be competitive, you know, probably that's a big thing. You know, we played, you know, the 3 league games in the Ryan Cup, and we felt we were competitive in every one of the 3 games. We might not have won the game, but we were competitive, and that kind of was a springboard for that result, you know, the last day against Athlone. And hopefully, you know, them games that we played, the likes of Jordanstown and St Mary's and Queens, you know, who've been playing Sigerson, to play them in the Ryan Cup games, you know, give the boys an emphasis to say, you know, that, you know, we're not bad here, we're up here and we're competing, you know, and that's all we can ask for, you know.
How was training going this week?
No, training's been going, you know, listen, we're still boys doing exams this week. You know, the boys, the training with the seniors and the boys away with the 20s. And listen, we got together there on Wednesday, and we got everybody together, and we had a wee short session. Listen, for the game last Sunday, the bodies were still sore and stuff like that, so we didn't do much. You know, we just went through a couple of things and got ready for the game against Sligo now. And listen, it's going to be a big game, and they'll say there'll be a big following going to the game as well. So listen, we're looking forward to it.
You overnighted last week. Are you going down early this weekend?
No, we don't get an overnight this time. But no, listen, we'll meet in the LYT, and we'll head up towards Sligo. And listen, as a man said, it's not too far away. It's only about an hour and 15 minutes up the road from there, Kenny. So listen, it's great. As I said, but playing Sligo up in Sligo is a local derby, and listen, there'll be a lot of people going to follow. I don't think there's not too many games on it this weekend as well. So it'll be a big crowd expected that to Sligo, and you know, we're looking forward to the game.
Are you having another session before the game?
No, we're no more sessions. We'll just meet up there on Sunday morning, and we'll leave from Letterkenny, and we'll head up towards Sligo.
And in terms of, I know, speaking to Michael Murphy during the week, earlier in the week, you had a few knocks and bruises. Have you got everybody, or what's the injury front?
Yeah, well, listen, no, in fairness, I think it's just, you know, yourself, after the game the last day, they're knocks and bruises, but I don't think there's anybody. John Campbell came off on the game, but I think John's just a muscular injury, so I think John will be 100%. Apart from that, everybody else is good to go, and touch wood, now we come Sunday, and everybody will be rocking, ready to go.
Yeah. 60 minutes away from my first ever semi-final.
Yeah, listen, 60 minutes, you know, for ourselves and Sligo. Like, Sligo had a big result, like, beating a very good UL team, and, you know, nobody would have given them a chance to beat UL Brian Dobbins giving us the favourites tag, but, you know, listen, I think they've been playing Sigerson a bit longer than us, and I think he's, you know, he's just throwing it out there. But listen, Sligo, the result they had beating UL, them on home ground, you know, it's going to take a mammoth effort from ourselves to get a victory. But we're going up there and we're going to give it our best shot.
That's Francie Friel there, and thanks to Tom Comack for those interviews. Sligo IT against Letterkenny IT. That one throws in on Sunday at 2 o'clock at Sligo IT's grounds. The winners of that game will play the winners of UCC and IT Carlow in the semi-finals. We're going to go for another quick break. And you're welcome back to The Score with myself, Jeremy Doherty. Well, it was a famous night for Ireland's cricketers in Granada last night. They beat the reigning world champions, the West Indies, in their first T20 international. Eamonn McLaughlin, good evening to you. Some result for Ireland last night.
Absolutely brilliant, Jeremy. That's one of the best results the country's ever had in cricket. And as you say, to beat the world champions in their own backyard was some achievement. And it augurs very well for the future, because there's a lot of young players in that Irish side. And the experience they have gained from that result yesterday will stand them in good stead, especially the World Cup coming up later this year.
And a North West man featuring impressively among the bowlers, Eamonn.
Yes, Craig Young, who played his cricket most of the time with Brady, but last year he moved up to North Down in the Belfast League. But he bowled tremendously well, in a very, very death, nearly at the death, picking up two valuable wickets as well, 2 for 31 in his 4 overs. Tremendous bit of bowling. And yes, North West players and supporters will be very proud of his performance yesterday.
Ireland winning in the end by 4 runs, Eamonn. Just where do you put this victory, you know, in terms of Ireland's results over recent times?
Well, obviously, they've lost one or two players recently with retirement. Ed Joyce being an obvious one. But this fact that they've got an awful lot of young players on now and getting a result like that, as I said earlier, will do very well for the future. But it's up there with any results that they've had in the past, even in the World Cup. I mean, as I say, they beat the world champions. They wouldn't have liked that at all yesterday.
So where does it stand now in the series, Eamonn? They play again this weekend, don't they?
Yeah, it's a three-match series. They play on Saturday and Sunday in the other two remaining games. Obviously, Ireland are leading 1-0. It would be great if they could win the three-man competition. It would be great if they can come out maybe with another result over the next Saturday and Sunday. But they're in the driving seat. They've gone one up.
And would you call it, Eamonn? Would you fancy Ireland at this stage?
Well, you have to fancy them, because they know now. The chat might need to start to get off to yesterday. It'll be very hard to replicate that. Paul Sterling and Kevin O'Brien was unbelievable. But if they could get off to a great start again, maybe bat first, who knows? The West Indies, they'll be hurting. They'll be out to level the series. But even if they wait to Sunday, if they can win the series 2-1, it'll be a great feather in their cap.
Listen, Eamonn, I know you've been covering the Institute Games for Highland Sport at the weekends, but it's nice to be talking about cricket at this time of year and talking about positive news.
Exactly, especially with the weather we're having. You look out at watching it on TV, that the blue skies and the 28, 30 degrees makes you a bit jealous, but still, we'll stay with it. We'll stay with Institute for another wee while the weather improves.
Okay, Eamonn, thanks a million for joining us tonight. Good evening to you. Eamonn McLaughlin there, our cricket correspondent. Well, Ulster GA Secretary Brian McAvoy has voiced strong disapproval at proposals to change the provincial football championships. They could be under threat following recommendations of the Fixtures Calendar Review Task Force. Speaking in his annual report, McAvoy says ending the provincial championships would be a grave mistake. All proposals are to be discussed before being put out to Congress later this year. And Donegal's under-20s played their third and final group game in the Leo Murphy Development League with an away match against Mayo in Castlebar on Saturday. It's a winners-take-all tie. This one, both sides share top spot in the group with a win and a draw each in their two games so far. The Donegal manager is Sean Paul Barrett.
Well, Sean Paul, back on your travels again this weekend, heading to Castlebar to face Mayo in the last of the group games, and with two games played, how would you rate your under 20 development campaign so far?
Listen, Tommy, you'd be happy enough with how things are going, and we're using the league really to build for the championship. we played Derry the first game and we ended up drawing against Derry. We came back now after being behind and disappointed with the number of goals we conceded, but I suppose we played a little bit better, and the defence was very tight last week where we got over Roscommon down in Ballyshannon and ended up winning in a very low scoring game, 7 points to six.
So in fairness, people might think that that's was a dour game, but it was played in atrocious conditions, if people can remember.
It wasn't conditions at all for football, but the game had to go. There were quite good performances throughout the pitch. We would have been a wee bit disappointed maybe with our shot selection at times in it, but again, it's something we're working at in training the game.
Yeah, and of course, Mayo go into the game in much a similar situation to yourselves. Drew the first day against Roscommon and then won last week against Derry at home.
Mayo seem to be picking up big scores. I think they've scored 3-23 in the first two matches now, which obviously they have a lot of firepower. Obviously, they have Mickey Conroy and the Andy Moran in their backroom as well there, who put a lot of effort into their forward play. We'd be expecting a huge challenge now from Mayo. This will give us another indication of where we are and how our progress is going.
Yeah, and obviously, as you've mentioned, any time I've spoken to you, it's all gearing towards the 15th of February in Ballybuffet and Monaghan.
The championship's what it's all about. We're playing this league, but really the league are just better than challenge matches and give it a lot more flavour. And see what we are doing, how we're coming on, and it gives us an opportunity to look at various players in our panel to see how they're doing. And again, we'll be looking at seeing things around again this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll look at other players.
Probably a little disappointed you haven't got a look at your full squad, I suppose, in fairness, because due to obviously injury and other commitments, obviously this the Sigerson and Letterkenny IT particularly involved, quite a few of their players in your squad.
There is. There's Sigerson gone at the moment, and there's Fresher games, and some of our lads were out there last night playing Freshers, or playing challenge matches, getting ready for Freshers. And a couple of schools were out yesterday there in the McLaren. Dabby were out yesterday, and the Milford school, at Milford, were out in the Irish News Cup in Garvaghy yesterday evening. So we're missing players from all that there, but hopefully we'll have most of them available to us at the weekend.
Yeah, you had a number of the IT players last week. What's the situation this week?
Well, we only had one available. Ethan Harkin was only one out of the four that were available to us. I'm not sure. I'll have to talk to Michael Murphy again, see what their plans are. But we're certainly going to be there to one or two of the fellows that are involved in the IT. But we hope that they'll all travel with us and be part of what we're doing.
And of course, you have a couple of injuries as well. Eric Carr comes to mind, Ryan Brogan as well.
Yeah, Ryan is still making progress, come back. I'm not sure whether he's going to be available for this weekend. He's still touch and go. We've picked up other injuries now during the week there. Lads picking up knocks. So we'll have to watch and see how the progress over the next day or two to see if they're going to be available. We've lost a number of players now with injuries now. They're not serious injuries, but they may keep them out.
And who are they, Sean Paul?
And to be honest, Tom, there's a good few. Luke Gavin has picked up a knock. Aaron Doherty has picked up a knock. Lanty Malloy. Dahi Roberts, Ethan Harkin, Conor Donnell, they've all picked up knocks of training there during the week, they're all inbound.
Yeah, and you had Rory O'Donnell last week. Will you have him again this week?
Rory played again for his school yesterday, and we'll just see how he came through that there and how he is now for the weekend. But we hope that he'll be available for the panel anyway for the weekend.
Yeah, so all set now for Castlebar. And I know you'll probably say to me the result isn't that important, it's more about performance, but you win and you're through to a final and another quality game ahead of the championship, losing you're out twiddling your thumbs and maybe looking for a challenge game or two.
Really, that's the story there. Obviously, we go out every day to win. And it doesn't matter what match it is, whether it's a challenge match or otherwise. And we'll be certainly going to Castlebar looking for a win. And just as you said, if we were to get over the line and get through against Mayo, we would have another game the following week in a league final, which would be a huge benefit for progress in our preparation for Monaghan.
2 o'clock start then on Saturday, Mayo against Donegal. Sean Paul Barrett there rounding off tonight's programme. Thanks for your company. My thanks to my studio guest tonight, Jason Gibson. Next sport here on Highland is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning from myself, Jeremy Doherty. Have a very good evening.